Hello, Degrassi fans, and welcome to the Degrassi Kid Podcast, where each week we break down the history and impact of our favorite teen TV show. I'm Jocelyn, and this season, we're breaking down The Mother of All Degrassi by Linda Skyler. We're meeting actors, executives, and creatives from Linda's memoir, who will take us even deeper into the behind the scenes of Degrassi. For this episode, we're looking at Chapter 17, where Linda introduces us to David Canton. David Canton runs the Florida Family Association, a Christian fundamentalist group from Florida that have dedicated themselves to boycotting Degrassi, condemning the show for pushing a gay agenda onto the young, impressionable kids who watch the show. The Florida Family Association increased its boycott when Degrassi introduced Adam Torres, the first openly trans student at Degrassi, and the first leading trans character in any scripted series. Adam's character was a big deal for making trans kids visible and normalized on television. So, David Canton increased his pushback. The Florida Family Association targeted anyone who advertised on Degrassi at all. Whether you were a big company like Kodak, Kraft, or Colgate, or a small local advertiser, in David's eyes, it's unrealistic that one school would have a gay first-string quarterback and a trans student walk in the same hallways. Linda said that she had no plan to respond to David. If someone this close-minded was incensed by what we were doing, then we were doing it right, she said. Adding that, I hoped David would stay tuned and watch our upcoming new series. Then, in season 12, we were suddenly introduced to the Baker family, a Christian family from Florida who takes up issues with the school's play, a queer retelling of Romeo and Juliet, now known as Romeo and Jules, with two male leads. Becky Baker gets into conflict with Adam before the two ultimately fall in love, showing how you can overcome the hate you're taught while still maintaining your faith and sense of belonging. However, the rest of the Baker family doesn't undergo that same transition. Instead, we have Becky's brother Luke, who doubles down on his homophobic and transphobic rhetoric, spewing the same kind of hate speech we'd hear from David Canton in his email blasts. The Baker family is meant to reflect the real-life voices of fundamentalist groups that boycott Degrassi and make it impossible for queer and trans people to live their lives in peace, making laws that villainize queer people and make it illegal to just be yourself. So, what is it like to come onto Canada's most popular TV show and play a supervillain like Luke Baker? Craig Arnold joins us on the Degrassi Kid podcast this week to talk all things Degrassi, but first, let's listen in to Luke and Becky Baker as they talk about the gay play, Romeo and Jules.
What's up?
Everywhere I go, it's musical this, musical that. There's something wrong with this school.
Here we go again.
People are in need, Luke. And instead of helping, they're putting on a musical.
Oh, no, not a musical.
The blasphemous musical that normalizes alternative lifestyles, remember?
Just ignore it.
I can't. It's wrong.
Bex, are you forgetting about your super annoying superpower? You're loud. Just make them listen.
Craig, welcome to the Degrassi Kid Podcast.
Hey, thank you.
I'm so excited to chat with you. I always like to start off these episodes by telling everyone, how does a super fan meet the Degrassi cast? Mm-hmm. And a fun story is you were actually at Linda Skyler's book launch, and I ran into you and I got to say hi.
Yeah.
What kind of crazy fangirl impression did I make at that party?
I was so blown away because you had the student card that I had from, yes, there it is. Yeah, like I don't have any of those, and like I remember like they had them on the set and we took that picture on like maybe the first day I was there, and so when I saw that I was just like, man, I haven't seen one of these in 10 years. It's so cool.
Oh my God. I love that. I'm a Degrassi collector. So yeah. My entire room is wall to wall Degrassi.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
When I went to that party, I went around my collection and I was pulling stuff out, and I was like pulling things out for people I had hoped were going to be there.
Aww.
So I took this with me, and when I saw you, I was like, he's here. I'm going to get him to sign it. So that was awesome.
That was awesome. I was so happy you had it. And that you came up too.
Oh, I know. I was nervous, but I was like, this is my only moment. This is it.
Yeah, no, it was so good to do that. I loved it.
What was it like for you to go to that event and reconnect with anyone? Was there anyone you ran into that it had been a while?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like most of the people I haven't seen in a long time. And it just like hit me when we were there, how long it's actually been.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, I think it was 2012 when I started on the show. So like 11 years now, just insane. It feels like it was yesterday. I remember seeing Jess Tyler, Jordy Todesi, Annie Clark, Spencer McPherson, like everybody. Dalmar was there. Yeah, so many more. So like, it was really cool. And then it feels like just no time has passed once you've talked to everybody.
Just a little reunion. I love that.
Yeah.
I know, it was crazy as a Degrassi super fan, literally from like the kids at Degrassi Street to Degrassi Next Class.
Oh yeah, everybody.
I was just bumping around. It was so freaking cool.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you first was, before we even get talking about Degrassi, I know that before acting, you were actually bitten by the music bug. Can you give us a little insight into what kind of instruments did you play? What kind of music were you into?
Yeah, so I was really big into guitar.
Oh.
I still am. Yeah, I started playing in bands in like junior high school, high school. Just like really fell in love with it. 13 years old, just, you know, you hear something that really connects with you and you're like, I want to just try that. Like, it was just some like impulsive thing drawing me to it. And so, yeah, just, I was just so enamored with music and just wanted to be able to play like all the people I heard so badly. And yeah, I just loved it then. I love it now.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
Did you have any like fun little bands with fun little bands names or anything at that time when you were growing up?
I did. There was two bands. One was Exit 13. We were 13 years old.
Oh, cute.
And then the other one was The Crunch. That was the one that I played in all through high school.
The Crunch. What, did anything inspire that?
No. So there were like four guys who already had a band called The Crunch, and then they needed another guitar player. And so I kind of joined on later.
Yeah.
But no, I think they just thought like, yeah, that sounds funny. Let's just make that the band name.
I love that. Those are the best ones. Those are the best ones.
Yeah.
Well, I also know that the acting bug came after you performed in a school play. Can you tell us like, why did this suddenly change your mind that now you wanted to be an actor?
Yeah. So it was a couple things. That was when I was in 12th grade and the band that I was playing in, The Crunch, like everyone was going off to university, to different schools the next year. So it just felt like we can't really keep this going the way that we want to. And like around that same time, I had this drama teacher in high school named Mr. Laidlaw, and I was doing drama classes, and he just like really encouraged me to audition for this play. So it was called The Love Course by A.R. Gurney. It just seemed like the right timing. Like the music was kind of in a lull, and I like didn't feel like I could be that creative. And then here came this opportunity to try acting. And I had done some acting before and like, you know, school and community plays, but like never really took it seriously. And like, just as we rehearsed it and did the play, it just hit me like, this is really cool. You can be creative in this too. You can kind of try to find your own voice and do it the way you want to do it. Like really similar to how I found music.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it just kind of was like an evolution of that feeling.
That is so cool. How much time passed between you getting this kind of interest in acting to you getting your first gig?
It was a while. Like, so I first like really got interested in the 12th grade. And then it wasn't until I was like 20, I think, that I got my first real gig on a show. It was an episode of a show called Haven.
Mm.
But yeah, like before then, I did some short student films out in Halifax. I was going to school out there at the time, Dalhousie.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that, I kind of learned like how to act in TV and movies a little bit. But yeah, like I auditioned a lot for stuff in that time. I didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a steep, steep learning curve, a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, after a couple years, like I finally got something. I was like, okay.
Yeah. And now you look at your IMDb and it's like, I normally, if I interview someone from Degrassi, I go and like watch all the shows that they're in, the movies. And I was like, I don't have enough time to do that. You're in way too much stuff.
Happy Pride, Degrassi fans. The Degrassi Kid Podcast has been celebrating queer pride all month long, and I want to say a huge thank you to this month's supporters. For our mail-out tier, we put together packages filled with queer Degrassi fan art made by queer Degrassi fans. That includes Replica Pop Culture on Redbubble, who donated queer Femigen magnets and stickers to the Degrassi Kid Podcast, Evie Treasure's Etsy shop, who threw in Romeo and Jules buttons and pins for you guys, Sadie Rue, who designed the LGBTQ Club stickers right from Degrassi, Sierra Lucy 05, who donated queer Degrassi Junior High stickers, like Melanie saying, "What's wrong with being a homosexual anyway?" And Lividly Lily, who made custom I'm in love with her and she's a girl stickers. All of my queer Degrassi friends will be linked in the description, where you can show off your Degrassi pride and check out their shops. Thank you so much to Amory, Evie, Sadie, Lily, and Sierra for supporting Pride Month on the Degrassi Kid Podcast, and to everyone who showed their support by purchasing a package. But for now, let's check back in with Craig Arnold from Degrassi.
I have a couple fan questions.
Yeah.
The first one comes from Rachel, who wants to know, were you a fan of Degrassi before you got on the show?
I was never like a huge fan of it. Like I grew up in Toronto and it would be on TV a lot. So like I had seen a lot of Degrassi, both the like all the way from Kids of Degrassi Street up to The Next Generation. And like I remember, you know, seeing Drake get shot and like,
classic,
like the really like important moments. But no, I wasn't watching it religiously.
You weren't like this, basically.
I was just a step below, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Well, when you auditioned for Degrassi, was Luke like the only character you went after? Did you audition for anybody else?
No, so I auditioned for Demetrius's character, Mike Dallas.
Mike Dallas!
Yeah. So, yeah, I auditioned for that. And then I think I did a callback for that one again. And then waited a few weeks. And they were like, we don't think you're right for this one. Do you want to read for this other character, Luke? And, like, of course I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. And then the big note with him at that time in the audition, I remember Stefan Brogren saying to me, like, he's got to be so nice. We have to love him. He's a really nice, sweet guy. He will never do a bad thing. Like, just make sure to put that in your performance. And then I did that. And the scenes were like, just like so sweet and really kind. And then, as you know, as soon as I got the first script, I was like, what?
Oh my God.
A U-turn here.
Well, that's so funny because Lily wants to know, were you aware that Luke was going to be this unlikable character?
No, not at all. It was like, yeah, just kept hammering home. He is going to be nice. He is going to be a sweet guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The next question I have for you is, what does it feel like? Like, I know you weren't a fan of Degrassi, but you knew the impact of it. What did it feel like to be a part of this show that had such a long history to it?
Yeah, that was probably, I guess, like the best part of being on the show, which, like, you know, I always knew how much of an impact it had and how important it was to kids everywhere, and especially in Canadian TV and culture. But like, once I joined it and met a lot of the fans of the show and got to interact with people, like, then I really realized, like, this actually is massive for so many people and it carries so much weight and it's so important. So that really just became the best part of working on the show, was just getting to realize how important it was and how it had affected so many people.
Yeah. And the fact that it had been on the air since 1979, it continued to affect.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm crazy. Hoping it comes back, because, like, this is our first generation where we don't have any Degrassi kids anymore.
And, yeah, right.
Like, especially in the world post-COVID, like, I feel like they would need that show to connect them. So hopefully it comes back.
Totally. And they were going to do one. It was on HBO, right? Like
HBO Max. Yeah. And then they started cutting everything.
Yeah.
I was so excited. We got the announcement in January. Oh my God, it came back to life. And then like December, it was like, actually, we're not doing it anymore. And I was like,
I know. Oh. Yeah. Like, so sad.
I feel in my heart, it will come back. Like, it's Degrassi. It will come back at some point.
Oh yeah.
I'd rather them find the right person than just someone who's going to do it. So I have hope. Before you got on Degrassi, were you friends with anyone on the show? Did you know anybody?
Yes, I was. So I knew Sarah Fisher very well, which is funny because then we ended up being brother and sister and like the closest of like each of our characters.
Yeah.
So we grew up down the street from each other. Both of our older sisters were really close friends with each other. And like, because of that, we'd like go over to each other's houses for, you know, dinners and whatever with the whole family.
Wow.
And then it was when I was in like junior high school, my family moved out of that neighborhood and like we kind of lost touch a little bit. So it had been like quite a while since we'd really seen each other.
Yeah.
And then like at the first read through, like when we both got put on the show and we saw each other and we're like, oh my God, like we're brother and sister here. This is insane. What are the odds of this? This is crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was super cool. And like, we just had like that bit of familiarity of like growing up together. So yeah, that really helped. And then I also knew Jameel French and Ray Ablack and Dalmar.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we had taken classes together, acting classes in Toronto. And yeah, so that was cool. When I got on the show, I could tell them, like, hey, God.
I did it too. Yeah. I joined the club. Yeah. That is so cool. What a crazy coincidence that you would grow up so closely with Sarah and then end up playing siblings. Like, I feel like it would be such a sense of relief of like, oh, we got this. Like, we're going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh.
On Degrassi, you're introduced as a member of the Toronto Ice Hounds. And Megan wants to know, did you play any sports as a kid?
I did. Yeah. So hockey was my favorite sport and the main one that I focused on all growing up. So that was really cool to play a hockey player on the show. And like, we did some scenes on the ice too, playing. Mm-hmm. So like, that was really fun. And yeah, I also played baseball and soccer, a little bit of basketball, but hockey was really the main one. Yeah.
That is so cool. So did that come up in your audition? Like, was it required that you had to know how to play hockey?
It did. Like, I don't know how huge it was. I remember them asking, have you played hockey before? And I was like, oh yeah, my whole life. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if I had said no, what would have happened?
Actually, since you bring it up on the ice, during back in 2012, Degrassi for the first time ever invited fans to come be extras and watch the show get made.
Yeah.
And it was your very first season.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering what that experience was like for you and if you have any standout memories.
Oh yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, I remember that really well. That, yeah, there were so many fans in the crowd and like, yeah, we got to go and talk in between takes and on the way out. I remember like just the standout memory. I just remember getting off the ice and like walking off. I was getting ready to leave and like a bunch of people came up to say hi and like how much they love the show and how excited they were. And like, again, just ties into how loving and supportive the whole fan base is. And yeah, I just had a feeling like, wow, this is really nice. It doesn't feel like it's just a show. Like, it really has a soul and like heart to it. And
well, fun fact, you and I did not meet at that event, but I heard from the publicist who was like, hey, we're doing this thing. If you can come out, you can be an extra on Degrassi.
Yeah.
And I flew out for the day. I got to be an extra on Degrassi and I got to watch you act in Degrassi. And it
was, yeah.
But I still have those core memories of being like, oh my God, I'm watching my favorite TV show get made. And it was so cool.
So which, do you remember like what scene that was?
Yeah, it was from season 12
yeah.
called, the episode's called Rusty Cage is the main one. And then it appeared like four more times
yeah.
where, but I have a standout memory actually from it because I'd actually gotten there early and they were like, okay, you can go ahead, go on in. And Dylan Everett was skating up the ice and he fell and the whole crowd went, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing because I didn't get the prep that you were supposed to say, oh.
That was.
Yeah. So then he gets up and he goes again and he falls and everybody goes, oh. And I felt so embarrassed. I'm like, I know this is his first season. I felt so embarrassed for him.
Yeah.
And then
why can't this guy sleep?
Literally, I was like, they probably should have checked this out. And then he gets up and does it again and everybody goes, oh. And I was like, this is a TV show. This isn't real.
Yes.
That's the scenes that they were filming, specifically Cam getting like bullied and having a hard time.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that very well. Yeah.
It was a core memory for me. So yeah, I thought it was so cool that I got to, I didn't get to go to much music parties or anything. I just got to fly out for like that one event, but it's like a core. I mean, I was an extra on Degrassi. I'm going to brag about it.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So Craig, it's pretty clear that Luke Baker isn't one of the most well-loved characters on Degrassi. He tackles a lot of heavy storylines from the abuser side. And of course, we need those characters because otherwise, how would we have those big moments on Degrassi? But from your perspective, what is it like to join this iconic, well-loved TV show and play such an unlikable character?
It was definitely bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, most of the time even, I just wanted to be a nice guy for a scene or two. Just, you know, of course I knew the character was super important and that was the role I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely did have to just kind of remind myself of that and remember, you know it is fake, but you're going in to work and shoot the scenes and you're like saying really terrible things and doing terrible things to people. It can like mess with your head a little bit. So yeah, I just tried to keep reminding myself, this is acting. This is the whole point of this. We're telling this story. This is, you need to have these characters. And like, we were exploring really important topics too. And, you know, things that do happen in the real world. So like, there's weight to it and responsibility. So yeah, it was important, but yeah, definitely there were times where I just, it was hoping to get a scene to just be nice.
I believe that. Jem wants to know, do you find that it changes the fan perception of you? Like, do people look at you differently because you played Luke Baker instead of someone like Eli or Cam?
I mean, the only experiences I had like interacting with any of the fans, like, you know, at the hockey game that we were talking about, or any of the parking lot premieres at Much Music, everyone was so sweet. So
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I think everyone, all the fans of the show and everyone who watched, like, everyone was smart and know that this is a character you're playing. So I don't think it affected anyone's perception too much. I mean, I know it's hard not to, like, when I watch a show and there's a really bad guy, like, you do just automatically think, like, if you see them in person, like, whoa, that person's intense and done messed up stuff, and you remind yourself they were just acting. So maybe people had to do that, but didn't seem to have any issue or grudge with me.
I also think part of that is probably because of how accessible you guys were. You're on social media, you're at Much Music parties, you're doing Teen Nick interviews. They really humanized you guys.
Yeah.
But if I can be honest, when I went to Linda's, I've met a whole bunch of people from Degrassi. Like, I met Sarah, who's a ray of sunshine in real life. I've met Jessica Tyler. I've met Sarah, who played Frankie, all the characters who played the fun, nice people.
Yeah.
And when I approached them, I wasn't that nervous because I could imagine what they are nice like when they're really nice.
Yeah.
But with you, I didn't have in my mental brain of you being like, hey, I'm Craig. Like, da, da, da. So I was a little bit intimidated, not because I thought you were going to be like Luke, but I was just like, I don't know what he's going to be like, you know?
Yeah, you just don't know. You don't know.
You just don't know. I didn't think you were going to like.
In real life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I even had the feeling like when I watched the episodes, that, you know, in those seasons that I was on, and I'd see myself, like, I would think like, man, this guy is a dick. Like, what is the problem? So like, it did it to me too.
You played him too well. That's the problem. You believe it. And because he was so sweet at the beginning, you're like, you're just a manipulative little dude.
Yeah. How brutal, man.
Sierra wants to know about the preparation process for playing someone like Luke Baker. Does any kind of research go into that? Does the Degrassi people, do they kind of prepare you for anything?
Yeah. So like a lot of the times with the storylines that we were covering, it'd be based on things happening in real life and the real world. And like, they were always good at telling us, you know, this is based on something that happened last year, 2 years ago, just recently. And so we could kind of go and research whatever had happened. And I just felt that it was important for me to just know the weight that these storylines were carrying and just to really be respectful of them with such heavy, vulnerable topics. Cause like, you know, like going in to shoot Degrassi is really fun. There was like 20 of us all, you know, young and like having a good time, first big show most of us had done. So like it felt like a party sometimes, but then it was just important to, you know, for a lot of the stuff I did, to just take a second and remember, like, this is serious stuff. Real people go through these things.
Yeah.
We need to treat it with that level of thoughtfulness and respect.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about the Degrassi cast, is you can tell that you guys actually care about the topics that you're handling. Because in your case, you handled a lot of them. But the average Degrassi actor does go through a big storyline where they're not always the best person in that storyline.
Yeah.
And every single time I've seen someone do an interview about those topics, they always talk about it with so much respect and knowledge, especially at such a young age, which is one of the things that I think makes Degrassi so relatable, is because the actors also understand the weight of the stories that they're telling.
Yeah, totally.
Our next question is from Hannah, who wants to know, we've had other Degrassi actors on the podcast who tell us that you go into read-throughs and you do not know what's happening. You turn over the script and that's when you find out. But we do know that sometimes they pull you guys aside if there's something big, if someone's going to die, come out of the closet, have a big thing. Was there any moment that you were pulled out for in advance that they were like, hey, just so you know, this is going to be happening in the episode?
I don't think so. No, I think after the the sexual assault storyline, we talked about it after with Linda. But I don't think before that. I could be wrong. Like, it was a long time ago now.
Yeah.
I do remember talking about it and kind of going through and making sure everyone was okay and what we wanted to kind of portray.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it was right after. I can't confirm 100%.
Yeah.
But
no problem.
They did talk about it with me. So.
Yeah. That's good. That's another thing that I love about Degrassi, is I know that they put so much care into making sure that not just the audience gets the good information, but that you guys are also safe and educated enough to be able to handle these storylines, which I love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it adds so much more depth to it. It's just going into something knowing that it's real and these were real people going through this. Like, it just adds another layer.
Yeah. Our next question comes from Amber, who says, of course, as an actor, everything you're doing is pretend, but I'm sure there's still a lot of real emotion that's in your performance. When a big scene ends and you're in this heightened emotional state, how do you then get yourself out of that and then go back to just being Craig?
Yeah, it's weird. I think, like, I feel this more and more as I've done this longer and get older, that, like, you do have to be respectful of that you're putting your body through something so intense. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sometimes you can't just shake it off. Like, yeah, you do a really heavy scene. Yeah, sometimes it would stay with me for a day or a few days. And, like, I think that's normal because you're, mm-hmm. in a way, like, you're tricking your brain and your body into doing some, feeling like something is real, mm-hmm. even though you know it's not. But it just, it does, like, it can mess with you. So just, it's worked for me to just kind of be respectful of that. And yeah, sometimes after doing a scene, whatever, screaming at someone, that, yeah, maybe it takes a day or two to kind of snap in out of that.
Come back down, yeah, from it. Yeah. Well, actually, Linda Shankar, who played Ali, she has a wellness podcast called the Miss C Podcast. Shout out to Miss C Podcast. And she talked about that in one of her episodes about how, like, Ali went through abuse storylines. And yes, at the end of the day, that's not happening to her, but she had to get herself there. And she talked about those health and wellness tricks of, like, recentering yourself and removing yourself from the situation. Take that space to recognize, like, what's happening to you. So I always think that's so, I thought that was such an interesting thing to talk about, because I'd never heard someone be so just vulnerable about the fact that, hey, this isn't real, but it does affect me as an actual person. So that's cool to know.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I recommend it. It's a great podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that she had that. I'm gonna check it out.
Amarie wants to know, what's the biggest thing that you've learned from playing someone like Luke Baker?
Ooh, biggest thing. It's tough with, like, characters who are pretty much totally villains, you know, like, that, like, for me personally, when I play them, I don't want to do it as, like, a caricature and, you know, like a twirling the mustache kind of, like, level bad guy. Like, you want to humanize it.
He has to believe that he's good, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And have, like, some justification for what they're doing, no matter how messed up it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to try and, I don't know if empathize is the right word, but just kind of understand where they were coming from a little bit. Even, like, I obviously disagree with everything.
Yeah.
Baker chose to do, but you can see, like, okay, well, it's kind of sad if you were, whatever, brought up these ways and consumed these things and were influenced by these people, like, okay, yeah, maybe you would start thinking certain thoughts and thinking certain behaviors were okay. And yeah, it's like, makes it a little more authentic, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's a hard question to answer, because I'm basically asking you to say, how do you relate to someone who's horrible? But you're exactly right. Like, these people really do exist, and they are still really human beings. And even if, like, they're deplorable, inside their own minds, they're justified. And you have to try to connect with that in some way and portray it. So, I mean, you did a great job. I'm just going to say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, most people don't think that they're the bad guy.
Yeah, you're never the bad guy in your own story. That's never the case. So, and I do think that you connected with Luke, because I really felt like he was a good guy when he first started. And when he, in scenes where he told Becky, like, I don't blame you, I believed that he thought that he was right in that moment, even though everyone else.
Yeah, to him. Yeah. Are you crazy, man? Have you not seen what you've done? Yeah.
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 Jenny, who I think is, like, she's been to, like, many, many fan events.
Oh, sweet.
She wants to know, if you could change your character's ending, what would you change it to and why? Or would you change it at all?
Ooh. I mean, I think it ended the way it was supposed to for Luke. Mm-hmm. I guess if I could have changed anything, I would have wanted him to become more aware of the impact that he had on people and how much he had hurt people and how wrong so many of the things that he did were. I feel, you know, just personally for me, that would have been nice to feel like, okay, like, he's finally understanding what he's done.
It's a complete circle in the story. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think it worked for the story that, you know, he just had to be put away. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. At that point, he should have been gone. Yeah. I agree with you, because I think Degrassi does do a really good job of showing you that good people can do bad things. Like, how do teenagers get pregnant? How do people get addicted to drugs? But I love with Luke that they showed that bad people can do bad things, and that's the end of it. Like, they're going to go get punished for it. Not everyone deserves a redemption from certain things. So I like that they didn't give us that, because most times if someone starts on the show, they start like Holly J, she starts really mean and then they get nice and then they do this and then they get nice. But I'm happy that we got that complete. It almost felt like the people who went through that probably got a lot of justice out of that story.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. It's just more kind of real and messy that way. There are people who do bad things and don't ever think that they were wrong. And it's like an uncomfortable fact. So, yeah.
Especially because in a lot of, like, earlier, like, way earlier in season four, they handled a similar storyline, but the guy doesn't get charged as guilty, which is more realistic, I think.
Yeah.
But I think this was probably good for people who needed to see, like, it is worth it to go through these steps because this is the justice that could be served, so.
Yeah.
Adriana wants to know, if you could play a different character on Degrassi, who would it be?
Ooh, who would I be? You know, I really like Ray's character. Sav, he had such a fun relationship with Mindy on the show, and he was playing in the band too, so that was really fun. And I mean, like, he's just such a good actor too, so he did such a good job. So part of it's just like, I wish I did that.
especially with the music thing, you could get the crunch on there, it would have been great.
Crunch, yeah.
Your generation really kicked off the Much Music live parties where you could meet fans and watch the show together. And I'm wondering if you have any standout memories from those lot parties, or even especially your first early ones where it was all new to you.
Yeah, those were super fun. Like, that was such a cool way to kick off each season and have all the fans of the show downtown in Toronto. I remember there was someone who came and had a big billboard that said, I just drove 7 hours from, I think it was somewhere in Pennsylvania. Like, please sign my my poster. And everyone did. Yeah, that just, like, hit me that was so cool and sweet that she'd come that far for the premiere party.
I love that so much. It's so nice to know from the fan perspective that the actors, like, hold on to those memories and they really stand out. And I'm not surprised at all that she drove out all that way. Now, Craig, probably the biggest question I wanted to ask you is about David Canton and the Florida Family Association. Linda details in her book that there was this Christian fundamentalist group that boycotted Degrassi and specifically targeted their gay characters. And it's heavily implied that the Baker family was meant to represent this specific point of view. So I'm curious, how familiar were you with the Florida Family Association and the story behind the Baker family while you were playing Luke Baker?
So at the time when I was doing it, I was not familiar. I didn't really realize, like, the real life side of it until I read Linda's book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, at the time when I was doing it, I didn't know that.
Oh my God. How did it feel to read it? Were you like, oh wait, this is about me?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a shock, and like, it made me really happy too. Like, fuck that guy. And like, I'm so happy that she, like, pushed back in that way. And like, so stupid what he was trying to do. Like, just get a life, man. This is so dumb.
He specifically said, it's unrealistic that one school would have a gay first string quarterback and a trans student. And I was like, out of all the things that happen at Degrassi, that's the most unrealistic thing you can pull up with.
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me, man? Get over this. Yeah. So I love that she did that, just to, like.
Yeah. Now do you reflect on it and you're like, oh my God, kudos to Linda.
Yeah. I'm like, that's badass. Man, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. And it adds more to that layer of realism because, like, I mean, you guys come in and you boycott the play. She ends up falling in love with a trans character. And it really tells a story of how you can work through the hatred that you were taught while still keeping your faith. And that was what makes the Bakers, even though they're so hard to watch sometimes, it's what makes it one of my favorite families, because I love learning about the history and impact of Degrassi and learning that Linda told these stories with a purpose about real people. So that's why I was like, I got to see if Craig will come on here and talk about this and see if you know it.
I think it's the best way to deal with that issue of him trying to pull advertisers and stuff and say, okay, yeah, we're going to show how this really works and dive deeper into this perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. She did something, she also talks about this in her book, but she did it similarly when she was making Degrassi High. She had gotten a letter from a pastor who was upset that they had an interracial couple on the show. So in the next season.
I saw it in the book, yeah.
Yeah, in the next season, she had them kiss, and then their kiss was in their opening montage. And I just love knowing that Linda was like, if you come to me with a problem, I just know that I have to talk about it on my show, so.
Yeah. It means it's at the point where it needs to be put on the show.
They're just feeding her storylines at that point. She's just probably gone through and they're like, oh, okay, this is the one.
I don't even have to write this. I can just plug this in.
Riley left a question for you, which I thought was so interesting. As a Canadian teenager, how much did you know about American Southern Baptists and their views on the LGBTQ community before you played Luke? Because I had no idea up until I saw the Baker family.
Yeah, I didn't know much either. You know, if you had asked me, I might have had some like stereotypical idea, and I'm sure there's a lot more complexity to it. But no, I didn't know much about it before.
I understand, me neither. But now that I've kind of run these Degrassi fan spaces, most of the listeners of the Degrassi Kid podcast are from the South and are from those kind of areas where being gay is looked down upon or being trans is now illegal. Yeah. And some of the stories that I hear is like they found comfort in Degrassi. Like Degrassi showed what the world could be like if they didn't have people like that around them. So right. I thought it was very cool that Degrassi took something so Southern American and put it in Canada to tell their stories too.
Yeah, that is really cool. Oh yeah, yeah. And it just gives such a sense of community, or you know, that yeah, you're not alone. That yeah, it's just to think about how much that affects people from so many places is really amazing.
Because I wouldn't have thought about it. Not that Canada's the best country in the world, but I know that politically we're typically progressive. Yeah. So I would have looked at someone like the Bakers and thought, no way people like that exist. And people from certain areas of the world will look at that and be like, oh, that's the people I go to school with, you know? So that was
Totally. That is important. Being in Canada, you can lose perspective that there are people with pretty extreme like right-wing views.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it's a reality for a lot of people.
Yeah. Thank God for Linda Schuyler.
Yeah. Amen.
Those are all of our fan questions. I have a question for you because you were acting long before you got on Degrassi. You were acting long after you left Degrassi. What's one acting project outside of Degrassi that still sticks with you?
A show I did called Impulse for 2 seasons really sticks with me. That's one of my favorite projects for sure. It just was, in my opinion, just a really well done show, really great cast and crew. I really liked the story. The character I was playing was super cool, and I really liked getting to play him, and it was kind of like edgy and rough. Yeah, so that one's one that I really think fondly of.
I love it. I watched the first few episodes, and the way I would describe it is like a sci-fi Degrassi. Like it has those same storylines, the same intensity, but then with this whole other element to it. So I will link it in the description too. I really recommend it. It's really easy to find online too.
Yeah, yeah. Just throw some teleporting into Degrassi and
got Impulse. Sci-fi Degrassi. Is there any projects that you're working on now or anything that you've done recently that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, I did a little part in an episode of a new miniseries coming out called Fellow Travelers on Showtime sometime in the fall.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah. So that was fun to do. My little part took place in the 1950s, so I got to wear those clothes, and they had all the cars in the background.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of my last questions for you is, in what ways does Degrassi still make an impact in your life?
For me, Degrassi was the first show that I got to be a series regular on, and I think it was the same for a lot of the other kids who were on the show. And like, I really feel like we all got really close, and that kind of feels in a way like a high school that I actually went to. Like, it feels like that is our graduating class, and like everyone's out doing other things. And like, it just feels like the way you would think of people you went to high school with. Like, I wonder what they're up to. Like, if I'll see them again, like you might see them on other shows or stuff. And like, it felt like such a team and such camaraderie. Yeah, that has just stuck with me. I just feel like we're all Degrassi kids. That's where we started. And yeah. And like, yeah, I really identify with that. And it was just such an amazing experience to get to be a part of that. And yeah, just feel that love from everyone who loves the show. So,
oh, I love that. I know. I love how like every single time I reach out to someone who is either on Degrassi or behind the scenes in Degrassi, it's always an outpouring of love. And like I feel like they love the show just as much as the fans do because of how much you connected to it and grew up on it. Yeah. So I always love meeting Degrassi people because you're just like, you just love Degrassi and I love Degrassi. So it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, before we wrap up, I was wondering, now that we've jogged all your Degrassi memories, how would you feel about playing some Degrassi trivia with me?
Yeah, let's do it. Nervous.
I believe in you.
So I can get.
And it's all about Luke Baker, so I believe in you. So you just got to remember your scripts and stuff.
Yeah.
Before we say goodbye to Degrassi's Craig Arnold, it's time that I say thank you to everyone who supported the Degrassi Kid podcast on Patreon this month. That thank you is going out to Amari, Alyssa, Amber, Amy, Annie, Becca's 123, Brittany, Charlie, Christina, Chrissy, Colin, Cody, Daniela, Dave, Degrassi CSI, Emily, Ethan, Gina, Glenn, Hannah, Isabel, Jem, Jenny, Joss, Jess, Josie Vins, Julia, Jolene, Julianne, Kat, Catherine, Courtney, Keir, Crystal, Kylea, Lauren, Lily, Lizzie Games, Max, Mark, Mackenzie, Megan, Nina, Molly, Nicholas, Owen, Rachel, Randy, Racine, Rebecca from the Trail Mix podcast, Riley, Rosie, Ruby, Sarah J, Shane, Shelby, Sierra, Stephanie, Sunita, Susan, Tish, and my best friend, Stevie Jarawa. I love you guys and you make the world go round. But for now, let's check back in with Craig Arnold from Degrassi and say our goodbyes. Craig, that is everything I have. Thank you so much. This is just so cool to me. And I can't believe that I get to do stuff like this. And I'm so thankful for
it. Oh, yeah. Likewise, Jocelyn. Yeah, it was really fun to get to talk about all this stuff, to kind of go back down memory lane a little bit. So, yeah it was really fun.
And I appreciate how open and honest we were about playing Luke Baker, because I know that sometimes it's probably not the best to play the villain. But I really think that everyone is going to appreciate hearing the other side of the story, because we always hear from the fan favorites and it's great. And it's nice to hear that, how it affects you as an actor to be on Degrassi. It's really nice.
Yeah, totally. No, really nice to get to talk about it. And I hope it gives some perspective on it.
Okay, thank you so much, Craig. Bye.
Okay, right. Thanks, Jocelyn. Nice talking to you. And if I hold out, I know I can make it through. I know I can make it through.